Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to what is a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, the iHeartRadio app, and also streaming live on YouTube. 888-710-4ISN is the number to jump on in. That's 888-710-4476. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter and X at Zach Gelb, also on TikTok at The Zach Gelb Show. Patty Boyle going to join us coming up 40 minutes from now. Jerry Hairston Jr. will join us at 4:20 p.m. Eastern time. And Sean Merriman will stop by at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific time today. I will start the show in just a second with Nick Saban and Dan Lanning and their future in college football. But first, I was just doing my weekly hit on 560 WQAM. I think they actually now have an FM single signal, so I think it's on 104.3 WQAM in Miami. But they asked me at the end of the show, what do I leave out for Halloween for the trick-or-treaters? Or what kind of candy bars do I give out? Now, I live in an apartment complex. My apartment complex is about 17 floors. There are mainly people that are in their mid to early, you know, mid-20s, early 30s. Now, there are some older couples. There are some couples that have children. But there's probably like only six to eight families in the building that have children. So there's a sign-up sheet where you make your name eligible or you make your building, your apartment number eligible, and you just check it off and then you get candy bars. Now, I will not be in my apartment Friday during the trick-or-treating hours. They do trick-or-treating hours, I think, are from 5:30 to 8 p.m. So I will not be in my apartment as I'm going to be here, and then I have a Halloween party to attend right after the show on Friday night. So I didn't check the box off this year. And let me tell you, Mark Hochman had such an issue with that. And I love Hawk. And I get it. He just doesn't get it because he's, right, an older guy, probably lives in a building where there's a lot more children. That's not where I'm living at right now. So, Stu, I have to ask you, because you have a condo? What is your classification of living in the swamps of Jersey?
It is an apartment.
Yeah. Complex, right?
It's a complex, so there's like 100-plus units.
A lot of children or no?
Good amount of children, yeah.
Will you be trick-or-treating friendly? Will you be a building or a apartment that will be friendly to the trick-or-treaters?
We bought candy. I think the plan is to leave it outside of the door.
I'll do a little the bowl action.
Yeah.
You know, and usually in Stu's apartment, they say bowl action, a little bit different.
But not allowed, usually.
In this case, you were doing the Halloween bowl where it's like, hey, please take one. And then you have like some pain-in-the-ass 11-year-old that sees that bowl. And the guy's like walking around with like a pillowcase and he dumps the entire bowl into the pillowcase. My sister did that last year. She lives in a house and she left the bowl out and someone took the bowl.
Great.
So you got to be careful with the bowl selection. You know, don't be giving out your fine china. obviously sitting there. You know, just give some crappy bowl and away you go. But yeah, I got berated on a radio show that I am making an appearance, right? No extra money, just out of the kindness of my heart, just being a good company guy each and every week with my guys Mark Hochman and Channing Crowder and Alejandro Solana, and they weren't too happy with the fact that I wasn't giving out candy. And it's not because I hate children. It's not because I am not Halloween friendly. It's just my building. It's not really conducive to Halloween, it seems like. So now I'm wondering if I'm going to get guilted to go into the store tonight and just put in a bunch of candy bars out there in a bowl and then just saying, hey, please take one. And then I'll get back hoping that there'll be a few candy bars in there so I could put them in my freezer for myself. And then probably knowing that there won't be any candy there. That would probably be my assumption. That would probably be my guess. So if it goes anyway where the laundry usually goes in that building. That's the one. I have a great building. Like, I love my building. The one thing I hate the most, though, about this building is the communal laundry system that they use. That's the absolute worst. Like, when I was living in Philly, the laundry was in the apartment, you know, in your own unit. But having just one place to do your laundry, that's the worst because, like, you go down there, and I'm pretty timely with that stuff, even though I did my laundry during Game 3 of the World Series. And I may or may not have fell asleep on my couch when the laundry was in the dryer. And then after watching, and it was late anyway, so no one's doing their really laundry at that point. But after watching 18 innings, I was about to jump into bed. And I said to myself, uh-oh, I got to go get the laundry. And I hate leaving the laundry in the basket overnight. So then I'm sitting there folding the laundry. And I didn't get to bed till, I don't know, 4 in the morning that night. So you guys are Halloween friendly. And just making you guys Halloween friendly this year.
Yes, we are.
What are you dressing up as?
Well, I will not be here because of jury duty, so I will dressed up as a juror, I guess. I don't know.
But, okay, but not, like, are you guys going somewhere this weekend when you got to dress up?
I don't think so.
Connor, you got to dress up for anything?
Do not have a costume yet, no.
Oh, okay, well, you got
not yet.
Fun. You're in the here I am saying you're not really in the Halloween spirit, as I'm not giving out candy bars.
Do you have a costume for Friday?
I do.
Ooh.
I am going as the Big Bad Wolf. To this Halloween costume, and me lady is going as Little Red Riding Hood. It's one of those things where we went on a train to Philly to go to this wedding, and she was like, oh, come with 5 ideas for the for Halloween, and she'll have 5 ideas. That was one that I was like, hey, whatever you want to do for Halloween, as long as, like, I'm not in tights or something like that and looking like a fool, I'm good. That way I can go watch football on Saturday and Sunday, if I'm just being honest. Yeah, pick and choose with stuff like that. But anyway, those are all the happenings on the Halloween front. I think what is my niece going as? I think my niece is going as Tinkerbell, I believe. I believe Tinkerbell? I think so. If I'm wrong on that, I'm sure I'll get a text in like 5 seconds. You're spreading fake news on the radio show. Wouldn't it be the first time? All kidding aside. All righty, let's get to Nick Saban, and then we'll get to Dan Lanning. Because there are LSU fans that all fan bases have unrealistic fans, but LSU is one of those marquee jobs. So, like, when a Florida fan sits there and says, hey, Florida should go call Nick Saban. Okay, you could call, but I don't think Nick Saban is walking out of his job right now to go coach at Florida. You know, Penn State fans, oh, we want Nick Saban. It's the same thing. I don't think he's going to coach Penn State. Like, both very good jobs, but they're not LSU. So there are names that get thrown out there. You know, Dan Lanning was another that gets thrown out there for Florida and Penn State. I don't think those are viable options. Now, with that being said, LSU opens up, and you say, wait a second now, where I don't think Nick Saban, to be clear, is leaving his current gig to go back to college coaching, because the reason why he retired, here's the breaking news, he didn't want to deal with the transfer portal nonsense and the NIL nonsense, right? He didn't want to deal with that. He's one of those my way or the highway type of guys. I'm rooted in my ways, and now it's more of a level playing field. Now I got to adapt anymore. When you're the king, you don't like to adapt, and it's either join or die, and he didn't die, obviously, but he said, I'm going to go to ESPN, and I'm just going to sit there and enjoy life, sit next to Pat McAfee, laugh at his jokes, eat all the food, and get paraded around from city to city each and every college football Saturday on the ESPN for College Game Day. So, with that being said, since Nick Saban has a history with LSU, since he won a national championship with LSU, once again, just like I'll say for Florida and just like I'll say for Penn State, it doesn't hurt to call. It doesn't hurt to ask, but be prepared to get rejected. And I look at a guy like Nick Saban, I don't think he's coming back to coach college. Now, I did see that Nick Saban talked to Chris Lowe, and the idea came up of Lane Kiffin maybe leaving Ole Miss to go to LSU or Ole Miss to go to Florida. And I've been one of the opinion that Lane Kiffin's not going to leave Ole Miss to go to Florida, but I definitely expect Lane Kiffin to seriously consider, and maybe not only consider, go to LSU and leave Ole Miss and go down to Louisiana State University. This is what Nick Saban had to say about that. Jobs that weren't great jobs before are now. Lane is the first name up for Florida and the first name up for LSU, but I think you could have a long debate on whether either one of those jobs is actually better than the job he now has, because he has some guys over there at Ole Miss that give him pretty much whatever he wants from a roster standpoint. He also went on to say, maybe you've got alumni who are passionate about football, but are they willing to invest what you have to invest now to win? Because a lot of people don't believe in this bleep. So that's what Nick Saban said. So I hear that, and you know what my immediate thought is? Nick Saban doesn't think very highly of LSU right now. If you're going to say, hey, Ole Miss is a better job than Florida and LSU. But also then, the propaganda machine, right? The people that are going to try to sell you that Nick Saban is a realistic candidate and someone that LSU could go get, they're going to say, oh, well, he's talking poorly about this, because not that they would pick Lane over Nick Saban, but he doesn't want to mislead Lane, who used to be an assistant of his, if he then swoops in and takes the LSU job. Like, that's the crazies on the internet. But I thought I released a very fair video the other day, and I released a video where I basically said target number one for LSU should be Lane Kiffin. And how many LSU fans, and I like Tiger fans, but they're sitting there, they say, no, target number one is Nick Saban. Is he realistic? Is Nick Saban realistic for LSU? It's one that makes you say, okay, you got to make the phone call. But if you sit here today and you said to me, Zach, what do you think the likelihood is of Nick Saban being on the LSU sideline next year? Give me a number out of 100%. What do you think it is? 0.02%? Like, I don't think Nick Saban's coaching at LSU. Stu, what would be your number?
My first number reaction would be something like 3%, maybe. A little higher than yours, okay. But not happening.
Connor, what would your number be?
I was going to say like 5%.
Okay. All right, maybe I'll up the ante. I'll go 1.8% that Nick Saban's going to be the next coach at LSU. And the reason why I say that isn't that it's me saying LSU's the best job in the market. It's one of the best jobs in the country. But if you pay attention and you actually look at this from a neutral perspective, and I understand this is the same Nick Saban that once was the Dolphins coach, said he's not going to be the next head coach at Alabama, and then he was. But Miss Terry basically laughed at the notion of him going to Penn State like just 2 weeks ago. So don't get me wrong, LSU's a better job. It's in the South, it's in the SEC. But if she laughed at the notion of him going to Penn State, is she really going to seriously consider it for LSU? I would think not. So that's where I'm at right now. Let's hear from Paul Feinbaum, because he is Mr. SEC. And isn't Paul going into politics, or is he still working on ESPN? I thought he was going to politics. This was on the Rich Eisen Show. Oh, right here on the Infinity Sports Network, which is basically also ESPN Radio from 12 to 3. Paul Feinbaum, would Nick Saban listen to LSU?
Nick Saban was the coach at LSU. He won the national championship there in 2003. And Saban left in 05 to go to the Dolphins. Wayne Huizenga offered him this deal. And in many ways, he always regretted it. While Alabama was where he made his mark, there was this gravitational pull about Baton Rouge. His family loved it. And it probably is the only place that could get a conversation with Nick Saban. So what would it take to get Nick Saban to leave the game day set, sitting next to McAfee every Saturday, to go to LSU? It would take more than he made at Alabama, which was about $10 or $11 million. But if they came up with a package, Rich, I think you could literally fill in the number. Do I think Saban would think about it for a minute? Yes, I do. I think Nick Saban, for an unbelievable amount of money, where he said, I just can't turn that down, could possibly at least engage in a conversation.
Can I just ask a question? Is Nick Saban, I understand this could be tough for a lot of us to believe, because money is money, and if you throw a crazy number at someone at that age, maybe they just say yes. In the year of 2025, basically almost in the year of 2026, is Nick Saban really making decisions based off of money? Like, obviously, if he's going to be the next coach of LSU, he's going to get a bag thrown at him. But is that really what he's making the decision off of? No. The decision that Nick Saban is making this off of is, will he want to jump back into a college football world where it's marinated in transfer portal and NIL, where you have a freshman who, if he doesn't play after 1 year in your program, he's in your office, coach, how much more money can I get? Or if you don't play me next year, I'm going to go transfer somewhere else. Nick Saban's used to doing things his way and doing it, may I add, at an extremely successful rate. And he's the greatest college football coach ever. You think he wants to jump back into a world where he left the creme de la creme job in Alabama when he was king on top of the mountain and everyone was basically doing whatever he wanted for him? He left that because of name, image, and likeness and the transfer portal. So just because LSU's going to sit there and maybe offer him a ridiculous bag, that's going to get Nick Saban to say, yeah, yippee-yay-yo-ki-yay, I'm going back to college football where I left, where it's still the wild, wild west with name, image, and likeness in the transfer portal. That's what I think people are missing. You have people say, oh, throw him a bag. Yeah, sure, throw him a bag. But unless if you're coming up with a system to fix NIL in the transfer portal overnight, I don't see Nick Saban jumping back into the deep end of the college football world. And I don't see him being the next head football coach at LSU. Now, here's another name that gets thrown out there, Dan Lanning. And I'll be the first one to say it. I threw it out there a week and a half ago. Now, Dan has been on this show a lot. I know how much Dan loves Oregon. Dan Lanning also has roots in the SEC. And I've said it before, the only way Dan Lanning leaves Oregon is, I think, for an SEC job or the NFL. Now, he's told me on the record on this show that he used to have an interest to coach in the NFL. That's no longer a desire of his. And if you are LSU, you absolutely have to ask Dan Lanning if he's interested in becoming your next head football coach. But once again, just because you ask doesn't mean you're going to get the answer that you want. Like, Connor could be out at a bar on a Friday night, right? And he could see this smoking hot chick that walks in. And his buddies could be saying, hey, Connor, go talk to that girl. You know, go talk to that girl. You know, she's good looking. I think she's looking over at you. She wants you to go buy her a drink. And Connor could walk over with the great confidence that he has. And he could say to the fine lady, hey, can I buy you a drink? And that lady could say, yeah, you could buy me a drink. Then she could sip on the drink. And then she'd go, nice meeting you. Take a lap. Like, that's what could happen. Like, Dan Lanning could take the phone call. Dan Lanning could take the first drink. But it doesn't mean Dan Lanning is going home to sleep with LSU. He'll probably go back to Oregon. But you at least have to see if that is there. And I don't know how the reporting actually went, because you hear so many different stories, right? People will tell you that Alabama was only interested in Kalen DeBoer and Mike Norvell when Alabama was open after Nick Saban left. People will say that Dan Lanning rejected Alabama. But if he did reject Alabama, which I don't know if that's true or not, why would then he accept LSU? I think he has something going really well. So sure, you could throw out there Nick Saban, you could throw out there Dan Lanning. Saban, I can't see at all. Lanning, I'll at least consider the conversation, but I don't think it's very realistic. And that's why I keep on saying for LSU, it starts with Lane Kiffin. That's where it really starts. And as I sit here today on the 29th day in October, the year of 2025, I think the next coach of LSU is either going to be Lane Kiffin or John Sumrall. But here's the other thing. Moscona, who joined us yesterday, he said that Scott Woodward, the current president, I mean, the current AD, is probably going to get fired before they hire a new head football coach. And he's been the first person that I've heard say that. So I think that's interesting because he's very tapped in hosting a show on ESPN Baton Rouge. So that was Matt Moscona with us yesterday. So if that's the case, who knows what the new AD wants to do? Who even knows if the new AD will even be making the hire? Who even knows if Matt Moscona is going to be right on that? But another thing Matt Moscona said is that there will be a contingent of LSU fans that will say, and I don't think this is a smart opinion because John Sumrall, could he fail? Sure. But a lot of people believe that he's going to be an SEC coach one day. That, oh, you can't hire the coach at Tulane. And that's like another thing. Penn State fans, Florida fans, and LSU fans, you're in this position for a reason. Like, Penn State, at least get it. You've been on the verge of knocking on the door of getting to a national championship game. LSU, I know you won three championships since 2000 with three different coaches. Like, Florida fans sitting there saying, we can't hire this guy, we can't hire that. You're Florida right now. You're in a miserable spot. Right? And I think there are fan bases that get too selective. You know, you can't hire this guy, you can't hire that guy. And a lot of those times, I just ask a simple question, why? And then I listen, I react, and I usually laugh. So if you ask me today, Zach, who do you think is going to be the next head coach at LSU? I don't think it's going to be Dan Lanning. I don't think it's going to be Nick Saban. I do think it's going to be Lane Kiffin. And if it's not Lane, I'll put my eggs in the basket of one John Sumrall. Zach Yelp Show, Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a timeout when we come on back. We'll get into this Aiden Hutchinson extension. We are back in 5 minutes. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, is the place to bet on NBA stars this season. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code GELB. That's code GELB, G-E-L-B. Bet $5 and get 3 months of NBA League Pass, plus get $300 in bonus bets if your bet wins. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text OPENY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas. Pass-through per wager tax may apply in Illinois. Must be 21 plus. Age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Must be present in state where it is lawful to wager. Void in Ontario. Restrictions apply. Bet must win to receive bonus bets that are non-cash credits that expire in 7 days. Minimum odds required. NBA League Pass subject to blackouts and other restrictions. And auto-renews until canceled. Additional terms at dkng.co/audio. Limited time offer valid until November 16th, 2025.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, it is the Zach Yelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Congratulations to our guy, Aiden Hutchinson, who just signed a contract extension with the Detroit Lions. And it's really go time for the Detroit Lions. We know that. It's a four-year extension worth $180 million. That includes $141 million guaranteed. It's good to see him return back last year after what was an incredible start to the season, then had a devastating injury. And now Aiden Hutchinson is back to form. And you look around that team and the money that they've invested in it, and the last 2 years, right, you got to an NFC Championship game, then you blew that game to the 49ers last year, the number one overall seed, road to the playoffs, runs through Detroit, and then, uh-oh, coming out of the bye, you lose to the Washington Commanders. This year, you got to go win the Super Bowl. Like, if the Lions are going to win the Super Bowl, it's either going to be this year or in the 2 years after that. You can only expect a 1 to 3 year window in this league where you could consistently be a contender. Can it go more than that? Sure. But I don't know how realistic it is after that. And like, the Eagles are 6-2. They're good. But it's not like you look at Philly and you say they're unbeatable. I know Green Bay smacked your ass in week one, but that was week one. They're 5-1-1. They tied the Cowboys at one point. You know, they lost to the Browns at one point. It's not as if I look at a team like the Green Bay Packers and all of a sudden I'm sitting there and I'm saying to myself, wow, I really fear the Packers. Even though the Packers are a good team, like, don't get me wrong, but I don't know how great they are. Like, they're good. I don't know how great they are. I'm not going to get worried about Chicago. Minnesota, we'll see what J.J. McCarthy's going to look like when he returns this weekend. Tampa Bay is really damn good, but are they just their ceiling getting to a divisional round game? You know, getting division round weekend? You know, the Seahawks are solid, but does anyone trust Sam Darnold in the big spot? No. The Rams, I love Stafford. They got some good players on that defense. They got some talent. But if the Lions played the Rams in a playoff game, we've already seen that before. I mean, how that goes. And the San Francisco 49ers are the walking wounded. So this is right there. It's not a lock. It's not, oh, hey, you're definitely going to the Super Bowl, but there is obviously a more than plausible road for the Detroit Lions to get to the Super Bowl. So, Stu, do me a favor here. I know you compiled a list of a bunch of the premier pass rushers in the NFL, and I'm just curious, because Aiden Hutchinson, right, signs this deal, and we've had a lot of pass rushers who recently got inked to extensions or who are already considered to be one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. There's a lot of guys that have that are in spots right now where they either just signed or they're not up for an extension, and they're probably not getting an extension for a few years from now. But let's just go around the room here and see, you know, what are the chances that that pass rusher has to go on out there and actually be playing in meaningful games? Like, it works for Aiden Hutchinson. In Detroit, playing well, off the injury, boom, they're bona fide Super Bowl contenders. So let's go around the room here.
All right, let's start with the guy who had 5 sacks last week and a loss, and that is Myles Garrett with the Browns.
Doesn't that guy, when he puts his head on the pillow at night, and as Mookie Betts would say, he's not thinking about guys, I understand that. But when he puts his head on the pillow at night, sure, probably sleeps easily, $40 million a year, all the money in the world, right? The world is, you know, is his oyster, but he probably sits there and goes, huh. Miles, if I had to be honest with myself, I could have probably got just as much money and I could have been on Philadelphia, or I could have been on Kansas City, or I could have been in Detroit, or, you know, I could have been on the Chargers. Like, even if it's not a team like the Chargers, I don't even know if they're going to go win a, you know, I don't know if they're going to be a Super Bowl contender this year, but you get the point. You know, I could have been with the Bills. Like, he has to be thinking that. He's in Cleveland right now, where on offense they don't have much, and their defense has been phenomenal. Like, to illustrate the way that Myles Garrett is playing right now, he's playing as if he's almost an MVP of the league. He'll easily win Defensive Player of the League. If they just had a competent team, if they had a team that somehow made the postseason, he would get MVP votes. But they're going to be nowhere close to competing, so he has no chance to win anytime soon. None, because the Browns are a disaster. They got to go get a quarterback. And how many years have we been saying that? Forever.
All right, let's stick in the AFC North. The Steelers have been, they got off to a really good start. They've kind of, you know, not been great lately. We have old Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback. What about TJ Watt with the Steelers?
I used to think it was a really healthy debate between who's the best pass rusher in the NFL. Is it Myles Garrett or is it T.J. Watt? It's now Myles Garrett. And I understand last year that T.J. Watt had a good season. That defense in big spots continuously just does not show up. Like, T.J. Watt's a hell of a player, but I thought when he eventually signed that extension, I said this at the time, that it was a mistake, and he saw what Myles Garrett was trying to do. He should have executed what Myles Garrett didn't, and that was leave a team. And I get it. The Browns are in a much worse spot than the Pittsburgh Steelers, but T.J. Watt has never won a playoff game during his tenure as a Pittsburgh Steeler. If I was him, even though that defense needs to be better, and you could put some of the blame on him, I would have said, hey, Pittsburgh, I'm not signing the extension. Just send me elsewhere. Send me to a Super Bowl contender. I think the Super Bowl for the Steelers moving forward, until they actually win a playoff game, is winning a playoff game, and that's something they haven't done since the 2016 season.
All right, what about my guy, Max Crosby? I know he's kind of been floated in trade rumors a little bit a week or two ago. He was obviously in trade rumors a lot last season before he signed a new deal with the Raiders. They have an older coach in Pete Carroll. They have Geno Smith as their quarterback right now. What about Max Crosby?
Yeah, they're screwed, the Raiders, because they're looking up. They have the Chargers. They have the Broncos. And, oh, yeah, the Kansas City Chiefs. It's amazing to me that Max Crosby loves the Raiders as much as he does. It really is impressive. And he just signed that new deal, so he's not going anywhere. And as long as he stays with the Raiders, I think he's playing for third place in the AFC West each and every year at best. Like, that would be the Super Bowl for the Raiders if they could finish in third place. So he has no chance to win.
All right, what about someone who actually was moved this offseason? Micah Parsons went from the Cowboys to a really good spot in the Packers.
Yeah, you went from a reality TV show to an organization that's kind of low-key, well-respected, highly thought of. They win a lot. They are a good team. We'll see if they could be a great team, but he's one of those teams that has a chance. He's on one of those teams, like the 8 or 9 teams in the NFL that you look at, and you can say, okay, I could actually envision them winning a Super Bowl this year. If you tell me they're in the Super Bowl, it's not crazy. So that's a guy that got paid and got into a better situation, and I think it's going to benefit his career in a huge way.
We spent a lot of the summer talking about what the Bengals were going to do with Trey Hendrickson. Kind of looks like it's maybe running its course. What about Trey Hendrickson with the Bengals?
Yeah, that defense stinks. They just lost to the Jets. They made Justin Fields look like a Hall of Fame quarterback. And now you get the news from Ian Rappaport. Bengals quarterback Joe Flacco is dealing with an AC joint sprain in his throwing shoulder. And his status is up in the air for Sunday versus the Bears. That's what sources say. Flacco left the loss to the Jets, then came back late. Coach Zach Taylor called him day-to-day. Jake Browning is the backup. And I said this when Joe Flacco got there, he was just not going to be able to survive the season behind that garbage offensive line. I think that the Bengals should trade Trey Hendrickson, but if you do that, then you're basically admitting that you're not expecting to make the playoffs, and the whole hope that they're trying to sell you on is that at the end of the year, Joe Burrow will be able to come on back and you prevent the ship from sinking and then he can lead you to the playoffs. I don't think the Bengals are making the playoffs this year, so I would trade him.
All right, what about someone who was drafted very high in the draft a few years ago, has kind of made his imprint on the league just in a couple of years? What about Will Anderson Jr. with the Texans?
Yeah, he's a stud, don't get me wrong, but he's on a team where now I'm just trying to see what direction they're going in, where the first 2 years, playoff, playoff, playoff win, playoff win. Maybe they could rally here in the second half and make the postseason. But it seems that the Texans have limitations, and that's wild card weekend, Saturday, 4:30. They could win or lose that game, and then they bow out in the divisional round. So he's a heck of a player. He's one of the better pass rushers in football, but I don't think he's a guy that is going to win a Super Bowl or even get to maybe an AFC championship game with the Houston Texans, but it won't be because of him.
All right, what about Nick Bosa with the 49ers? You kind of see how great he is when he's healthy, but the problem is a lot of times he's not healthy, and you also have a Niners team that maybe they've reached their ceiling already as a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, and I know he's only 28, and he just turned 28 like a few days ago, but now a season-ending injury. With all those injuries, they pile up, and your body could slow down real quickly. I still think, obviously, he could be a really good player. The 49ers will always be in it, but at this rate, do I envision the next year to 3 years, right, his remaining prime years, the Niners winning a Super Bowl? No, I think they missed their window, where they'll be competitive, but I don't think they're going to actually get a Lombardi trophy.
All right, last one here. Sticking in the NFC West, what about Jared Verse with the Rams in his short career so far?
Yeah, and I picked him before the season started last year to win Defensive Rookie of the Year, and obviously he did that. He has 4 sacks to start this season. He's a heck of a young player. The thing with the Rams is they have such a good young core on defense. And then offensively, you got guys like Puka Nacua and Kyren Williams. But at the quarterback position, you got an older quarterback, and you don't know how much longer he's going to play. The Rams are going to be in the mix with Verse, but ultimately to see if they have a Super Bowl window, which they could have one this year, and they could win a Super Bowl this year. But to see the long-term future of what he's going to look like in LA, we know he'll be a great player, or a bare minimum very good player. But until we see who the quarterback is that replaces Stafford, it's kind of tough to project what their Super Bowl window is going to be moving on into the future. All righty, we'll take a break. It is Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Pat Boyle joins us next. Update time first.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Here's Zach. Alrighty, it's time to ask the pros. You, the listener, gets to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INF Sportsnet or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Here he is, host at the Infinity Sports Network. We could hear him Monday through Fridays from 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern Time, the great Pat Boyle. Pat, how are you?
Hey-o! What's going on, Zach? You know, I was told Justin Fields stinks.
Stop. He went up against a JV defense. Oh, stop it.
Oh, so we're going to move. We're going to move the goalposts.
It's one game.
Zach Gelb, mover of goalposts, shaker of Patriots pom-poms, and mover of goalposts.
Hold on. What's the record of the Jets?
1-7.
Thank you. I rest my case.
How many losses can you pin on Justin Fields? One, two, two and a half?
The guy has played two good games this year. They're up against a crappy Steelers defense and a crappy Bengals defense. If this is what you want to hitch your wagon to, Justin Fields, be my guest. Be my guest. Go ahead. Pretend like Justin Fields is some really damn good quarterback, and let me know we're talking about him at the end of the year. All right? That's all I'm going to say.
I just find it funny that Justin Fields plays a nearly flawless game against the Steelers and the defense blows it. Justin Fields and the Jets offense didn't do much in the first half against the Cowboys. They gave up 37 points, but Justin Fields still threw for nearly 300 yards.
The game was over at halftime. It's garbage time. Game was over 23 at halftime.
And because it's the defense's fault. But then all of a sudden, Justin Fields plays one bad game where his offensive line couldn't block me or my dead grandma from getting into the backfield.
Geez.
And then all of a sudden, you know, Justin Fields also has a bad game against the Panthers, much like the rest of the offense. Like, mm-hmm. It's his fault that they didn't have a run game for most of the season. But then all of a sudden, Woody Johnson, the loser owner that he is, wants to throw Justin Fields under the bus. And then you have the debacle that happens. Tyrod Taylor can't even play. Tyrod Taylor can't even play. Justin Fields admits he's crying in his closet and then balls out. But, it's the Bengals defense. So, you know what? It doesn't count.
Pat, you could be the quarterback up against the Bengals defense. I think you could lead a touchdown drive. Anyway, I don't want to do a ton on Justin Fields. I know you are a huge, huge, huge baseball guy because, right, you played college baseball or something like that. World Series, I think it's
D3,
been,
baby.
Yeah, D3. I know. I give you credit for that. You're probably a better D3 baseball player than Justin Fields is as a pro NFL quarterback. I don't even know what your stat line was. But World Series, right? Blue Jays take game one, then Dodgers take game two. You had the crazy 18-inning affair in game number three. And then what a resilient effort from the Blue Jays last night. How do you think game five is going to play out later this evening?
Yeah, I think my claim to fame for my pitching career is I struck out Dalton Varsho in the Summer Collegiate League in the Northwoods League. That's right.
Wow, look at that. Right. Patty Boyle.
Dalton Varsho ripped a single off Shohei Ohtani, struck out against Pat Boyle. So, I don't know. Is Pat Boyle, you know, should he be starting for the Dodgers? Who knows? But, yeah, look, I picked the Blue Jays to win in seven before this series started, Zach. And then even myself, I found myself basically writing them off after they lose that marathon 18-inning classic game. And they just once again showed you how resilient they are, how special of a team they are. The offense lived up to their identity. You know, Vladdy hits the home run, of course,
huge,
right?
Yeah.
And he's the hero, and he breaks Joey Bats and Joe Carter's postseason record for most home runs in a playoffs for the Blue Jays. But then after that seventh inning, it was single, single, double, single, single. They get an RBI ground out. That's who this team is, man. They are just so freaking tough to get out at the plate. Guys like Ernie Clement, who's hitting 400. He's got a 10-game hitting streak in the playoffs. Guys like Addison Barger, you know, Jimenez, Bichette's back for this World Series. They put the bat on the ball. They do not strike out, and they made life a living hell in that seventh inning for Shohei Ohtani. That being said, I still, you know, Dave Roberts, it might have not mattered anyway, but of course he's going to sprint to the bullpen to bring in Anthony Banda against the bottom of the order. I understand Shohei gave up two ropes to start that inning. Wouldn't you rather trust Shohei Ohtani to limit the damage, maybe give up just one run, throw 105 pitches, get through the seventh inning, and it's 3-1? Rather you bring in the bullpen, and of course they melt down right away. So I said Dave Roberts was going to try to find ways to lose games in this series, and the Dodgers offense didn't do anything yesterday. Give Shane Bieber a ton of credit. But even then, I would have stuck with Ohtani in that seventh inning.
Yeah, I look for three things tonight. The pitching matchup, Snell, seeing if he could bounce back from game one. Obviously, he's capable of it. Treya Savage, one of the best stories in baseball. Guy started the season in single A and then got called up in September. And he's been a really good pitcher for them, starting pitcher for them in the World Series. Had the ball in game one. So that pitching matchup is going to be interesting to me early, especially with how quickly both these managers may, go to their bullpens, even though they've been taxed the last two nights. Then you do get into, is George Springer going to play? You know, missed last night with the oblique injury that he suffered in game three. And here's the thing. I was actually the lone person on the show yesterday that picked the Blue Jays just because everyone was saying it was the Dodgers and this series is over. And I totally get it. But I think tonight is
I think tonight is the
Mookie Betts night. Where Mookie, all right, Freeman's had his moment. Ohtani had his moment. Mookie Betts has been quiet in this fall classic, and we know he's too great of a player to not take advantage. I think the Dodgers win tonight, and Mookie Betts has a big evening.
Yeah, I think that's a good prediction. You know, we'll see. I don't know off the top of my head Mookie's career numbers against Blake Snell, but he traditionally hits, not Blake Snell, against Treya Savage. I mean, off the top of my head, I don't remember what he did in game one, but I know he hasn't been having a good World Series for the most part, so I don't mind that prediction. You always feel like Teoscar Hernandez is viable to go deep any game. But yeah, for me, it's can the 22-year-old rookie who made three regular season starts, now he's made four postseason starts, do you get the Treya Savage that you got against the Yankees where he was absolutely untouchable and that splitter was like a bowling ball, was untouchable, or do you get the Treya Savage that made a second start in the postseason against the Mariners and got hit around? It's going to come down to how effective his splitter is tonight, because we know the book is out on him, right? As much as the book can be out on a 22-year-old rookie, but it's the splitter. If it's working and it's keeping the Dodgers off balance, then he's going to have success. I think ultimately though, you're just looking for five innings, right? Toronto, that seventh inning was massive for them because it allowed them to go to Fluharty, the lefty specialist, for only four pitches. And then they got to throw Bassett, who's carved out a really nice role for himself as like the kind of quasi setup guy. And they didn't even have to use Hoffman. So they got their closer. They've got Sir Anthony Dominguez. Hopefully he doesn't lay a fat 97-mile-an-hour fastball right down the plate again to Ohtani. But if you get five innings out of Treya Savage, that's a massive win. And then Blake Snell was basically unhittable for his first three postseason starts. And then the Blue Jays smacked him around in game one. So, you know, at this point, they know each other. They know each other inside and out. It's going to come down to execution. Which pitcher is going to give it the team more length? And then, you know, again, it's probably going to come down to the stars. Who has a big night? You think it's Mookie? I don't think that's a bad prediction.
I know that you're a gambling guy. Look at college football this week. Vanderbilt and Texas. Texas is home, and they are a 2.5-point favorite up against Diego Pavia and the Commodores of Vanderbilt. Does that spread make any sense to you that Texas is a 2.5-point favorite? Because I look at it and I say, oh, Vegas is begging me to plus the 2.5 points with Vandy.
Yeah, I mean, look, we need to continue to see the evolution of Arch Manning, and he's growing, and we put way too much pressure and expectations on him before the year, and maybe that was unfair, but also when your last name is Manning, and you know, we caught a glimpse of you last year, of course the expectation is going to be sky high, knowing the rest of that roster is talented. I love Diego Pavia. I think Vanderbilt they are gritty. They've won already a couple of games this year that teams gave them no chance, or people gave them no chance to win. Their only loss so far has been against Bama. So it's, can Diego Pavia get the passing game going against the Texas defense that has played their ass off the last couple of weeks? I would lean Texas. I think the spread is fine. I would lean Texas, but I wouldn't be willing to touch this one either way. If anything, I think the total is in the mid 40s. I would probably be looking to take the over. I do think you get some offense here in this game, but in terms of picking a side, I don't think I can do one.
Real quickly, just give me the name. Next coach of LSU is whom?
Dabo Sweeney.
What?
Yeah.
Dabo?
I think at the end of the year, if Clemson is thinking, maybe Dabo's run his course, which doesn't use the transfer portal, stuck in his ways. You know, do we think we can find success elsewhere? Do we think we can find Sumrall if we bring him to Clemson, or Brent Key if we bring him to Clemson, not too far of a move from Atlanta where he's been the last couple of years? And Dabo Sweeney says, okay, I'll go prove it. Give me the resources. Give me everything at LSU and I'll go win.
It's a spicy take. I just don't see that happen. Anyway, he is Pat Boyle. That's why we love him. You can listen to him on the overnights, 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern time right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Pat, thank you. We'll do it again next week. We're coming on back. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Jerry Hairston Jr. joins us 20 minutes from now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.